Oh yeah.
So many of us have so many grievances.
Somewhere.
Parents, mothers, fathers, students, workers.
Okay.
I'm not here today to talk about the past. Nor do I want to talk about an election that's already passed. We should be here to talk about the future and what is to be done, rather than what has been done. I'm no orator. I'm just a former soldier, now student. But as a former soldier who served in combat for 1 year in Iraq, served in Nasiriyah, an Abu Ghraib prison, I want to talk to you today about a few issues that are dear to me. For this grand inaugural celebration, private donors will spend some $40 million, in addition to $17 million that we will pay for the security of Washington, D.C. The money will come from wealthy supporters of President Bush, some of the largest names in business and industry, AT&T, Anheuser-Busch, Bank of America, ExxonMobil, Lockheed Martin, Pfizer, corporate giants, and wealthy single individuals. The very people who say they support the troops so much and wrap themselves in the flag of patriotism at every opportunity. Indeed, there will be military parades. There will be concerts for soldiers and all kinds of flag waving and speeches, thanking us soldiers for our sacrifice. I understand that one of the main themes of this year's celebration will be honoring service and saluting those who serve. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I serve. And let me tell you what all these great patriots could have done with their money. These few days of celebration will spend the equivalent of 5% of all the money that Congress has allocated for armored Humvees and trucks in the 2005 budget. With those $40 million, we could have up-armored over 690 Humvees. This is something dear to me because when I was a mechanic serving in the southern city of Nasiriyah, I had to cut and bolt pieces of steel from an Iraqi junkyard to the underside of my vehicle to try and protect us from shrapnel and roadside bombs. We did this not because we wanted to, but because there weren't enough armored Humvees, and we did what we could. Or, with those $40 million, we could purchase 26,667 sets of body armor with ballistic plates, the same body armor that friends, parents, and relatives purchased with their own money to send to their sons and daughters overseas, when families did the job that the government should have done. We could buy 50,000 armor plates for bulletproof vests, something I know well because when I came to Iraq, I had no ballistic plates because there weren't enough. Or, failing that, if they didn't want to spend the money to protect the troops, they could triple the VA budget for soldiers who've lost a limb in Iraq and Afghanistan. These are the silent veterans, the ones whose names will appear on no honor roll and no official government list, the more than 10,000 veterans who've been seriously wounded in Iraq. The 2005 Veterans Affairs budget allocates $20 million for prosthetics and related care. Ladies and gentlemen, with those $40 million, we could triple it. What about the 300,000 veterans who are homeless in America today on any given night? What about the veterans returning from Iraq and Afghanistan who lost their homes and their jobs? One-fifth of all Iraq veterans treated at the VA were diagnosed with mental disorders. One-fifth. What about the 250,000 veterans living in America diagnosed with psychosis and post-traumatic stress? What about them? They could spend this money to help those who sacrificed everything to serve their country and the men who rule it. They could have done all this, but they didn't. The administration likes to remind us that this is a time of war and that all of us must make sacrifices. Yet I see no sacrifices in the glamour and opulence of the presidential celebration. I see no sacrifices among those who rule. Only among those who bleed. Today, patriotism has become an empty buzzword, a convenient cover for everything that we don't want to think about. True patriotism isn't waving a flag and putting a yellow ribbon bumper sticker on your car that says, "Support our troops." Patriotism isn't making empty speeches thanking the troops, but with the other hand, sending them off without armor into harm's way. Patriotism is not that. Patriotism is sacrifice. Sacrifice for others. Many have called President Bush a king or a tyrant, depending on your politics. But that's not so. In the words of Stephen Pressfield, I'll tell you what a king is. A king does not abide within his tent while his men die and bleed upon the field. A king does not dine while his men go hungry, nor sleep when they stand watch upon the wall. A king does not command his men's loyalty through fear, nor purchase it with gold. He earns their love by the sweat of his own back and the pains he endures for their sake. That which comprises the harshest burden, a king lives first and sets down the last. A king does not require service of those he leads, but provides it to them. He serves them, not they him. That is a king. A king does not expend his substance to enslave men, but by his conduct and example makes them free. Ladies and gentlemen, these words do not describe our president. Thank you.
Mr. Zach Lown of the International Socialist Organization and the DC Anti-War Network.
It's also absurd that less than 30% of eligible voters cast their ballot for the president in this recent election. That's about one quarter of the adult population, hardly an overwhelming majority, right? There is no mandate for the Bush agenda. In fact, this country is highly divided on every major issue, especially with regards to the war on Iraq. A Washington Post ABC opinion poll reported last week that a majority of the country now believes the war was a mistake. A majority of the country doesn't believe the war has made Americans any safer. Most people are concerned with the rising costs of health care, and a majority of the country is dissatisfied with the way Bush is handling his job in office. There is a lot of anger and a lot of opposition to the Bush agenda, and that is the opposition that we are continuing to build here today. Now, I think it is important to remember that Bush has no mandate, because I keep reading and hearing about this moral conservative values takeover, right? That America is a right-wing country and that Americans are mostly conservative, and this recent election proved that. Well, Bush won the recent election not because America is right-wing, and not only because of fraud at the ballot box. We have to place the blame for Bush's victory where it belongs, and that is on the shoulders of the so-called opposition, the Democratic Party. John Kerry claimed that hope was on the way, but his promise for a $7 minimum wage in 4 years from now, the same in real terms as 40 years ago, his promise to fund healthcare by giving tax breaks to corporations, his promise to increase our military by 40,000 troops, his support for mandatory minimum jail sentences, his opposition to gay marriage, and most importantly, his promise to hunt down and kill every terrorist and to try and continue to win the unwinnable war in Iraq. All of these promises meant that Americans, in fact, did not have much to hope for. Now, I'm sure a lot of people here held their nose and voted for John Kerry as the only realistic way to get George Bush out of office, and I don't blame you. I think we all want to see George Bush kicked out of the Oval Office, but I think we have to recognize that as much as we all wanted to see Bush going back to Crawford, Texas, the leadership of the Democratic Party showed in this last election that they rather lose the election than end the occupation. They rather lose the election than end the occupation. Now, that's saying something. And we should listen. We should listen and realize that we do have a choice. We can either let the two pro-war, pro-corporate parties down there on Capitol Hill continue to send other people's kids to be blown apart, to kill and be killed in a war that only keeps on getting worse, that we know to be based on lies. Or we can try and stop them. I am proud to be here with all of you today who agrees that we should try and stop this agenda. Now, we aren't there yet, but there are people pointing us in the right direction. There are the Iraq trade unions, such as the Iraqi Federation of Trade Unions, that are struggling to build democracy even as the U.S. imposes Saddam-era laws that make unions illegal. There are the soldiers of the 343rd Quartermaster Company of the Army Reserve that refuse to go on a mission that they believe to be unsafe. And right here in D.C., Unite HERE Local 25 just won a battle, just won the contract that they had been fighting for over 4 months now. We are here in the process of getting the Movement for Social Justice back on its feet. This might be a long-term project, but it is no way impossible. We look to the victories of the Civil Rights Movement, and that is the tradition that we are rebuilding here today. Yeah.
Bush says get back, we say fight back.
Lower West Side to Wall Street in Manhattan. This is just an echo. How is it that people keep forgetting? The chickens are home and in a threatening, there's no mention of the dispatch hatch to Orrin Hatch to Arm Bin Laden with tracks to snap Soviet backs in Afghanistan. Cold war, cold demand. That's why he gets his war son has to stand.
Yes, I saw this.
War on terror. Rizm is anti-Arabist. Masked by the system in the killing campaign. The right is revitalized off of trade center remains. More blood for oil. More pain for pain. No way to the role that we. Fuck this propaganda. By the banner, I demand an alteration of U.S. foreign relations. Succeeded situations caused by these. You in the ass nations. Third world debt traces back to colonization. Like the situation facing indigenous nations. Plus the Cold War suppressed self-determination. And you're telling me 9/11 had no justification? Be fucking for real. I'm not one of your sheeple, so I'm not believing in every single thing that you feel. I questioned your intentions ever since the Portuguese fought that first African breeze. Since you brought the Russian Revolution to its knees. Since you tried to tell me human nature equals greed. Oh, I beg to differ with the historical text you've chosen to pull like it's scripture. That's why I rip the mic with the force of each life you have chosen to toss aside as if it were worthless. And now we're back with the knowledge and skills to burn this motherfucker and puncture at every juncture, every structure you impose to clutch the mind. As we revive from decline, we forever leave history redefined. Open your eyes, somebody ring the alarm. We need to spend money on schools, not bombs.
Closer. You take care of yourself. Good
seeing
you are.
Okay, so I'll see you.
I will. The legal support number, if anybody wants to write it down on a piece of paper, is 202-544-8611. Also, as much help as we can get, there are a number, 1,000 cardboard coffins in the back there that we need volunteers to construct. And we need volunteers to carry down the march. So if you're interested, there you go. And that is the banner right here in the front for the civil disobedience dying, leaving half an hour after the regular march. So if you're interested, come in and sign it. Our next speaker,
already got it.
It is a privilege to introduce our next speaker.
Need the number?
At 90 years old, she walked across the United States. 3,200 miles. 1995, I'm sorry. And when the blizzard threatened her arrival here in Washington, D.C., she called for her cross-country skis and did the last 100 miles on skis.
Got a situation, and it calls for a solution that upholds our domination of the planet. We're gonna make our case, and we're gonna make it well. And if you don't like our logic, you can can it. We'll use impeccable intelligence from any country in the world, as long as we all see eye to eye. And if we don't find quite what we need, we know what to do. Just look into the camera and lie. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L.
Some of you may not know that they actually called the war in Iraq Operation Iraqi Liberation for a few hours. They released that to the press before realizing their economic mistake, which just goes to prove just how out of touch these people are.
We'll lie about the missiles and the nuclear research. We'll lie about uranium. We'll build military bases and smile for reporters as we give away bubblegum. We'll lie about Bin Laden, his connections with the Saudis. We'll lie about 9-1-1. We'll lie about the fastest their connections to Al-Qaeda, because we know there's none. It's Operation Iraq Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? What does it spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. We'll lie about the North Koreans, and we'll lie about Iran, and don't mention Israel. Keep those nuclear weapons out of this song, and we'll all get together swell. And we'll liberate these people, we'll liberate their money, we'll liberate their soil. We'll liberate their airports, we'll liberate their harbors, and we'll liberate their oil. It's Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. Operation Iraqi Liberation. Tell me, what does that spell? Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. That's just like the last one. People realize I'm a thief.
If you may.
Oh, gosh.
I have to pee.
Oops. My favorite t-shirt, I'm going to warm my hands up for a second. I was wearing my favorite t-shirt, which I do frequently, which is, I think, an interesting way to see what's happening with the people of the country. It's a picture of GW and the words international terrorists. You know, and I all of mine got stolen a few months ago, and I waited until the election to get more, because I wasn't sure if we'd have to change the face on the thing, you know. But you can get them at internationalterrorist.com. It's a Canadian company. And it's a great way to make friends, especially in places like Washington, D.C. It seems like just about any urban area in the country, it's a great way to make friends. Even at the truck stops, I meet all kinds of people who like it. And the people who don't, I was kind of surprised to find out, but the people who don't like it are invariably white men in suits. It's interesting. And but there's this one elderly couple in the organic vegetable section of the Whole Foods market in Houston that did not like it. I tried this little report at them, which I've been wanting to try for a while, but hadn't had the occasion, and it worked so well, I wrote a song about it. I've seen you in the markets, I've seen you in the streets, and at your political conventions. Talking of your crusade, talking of your nation, and other things too terrible to mention. And you proclaim your Christianity, you proclaim your love of God, you talk of apple pie and mom. I just got one question, and I want an answer. Tell me, who would Jesus bomb? Maybe Jesus would bomb the Syrians, because they're not Jews like him. Maybe Jesus would bomb the Afghans on some kind of vengeful whim. Maybe Jesus would drive an M1 tank, and he would shoot Saddam. Who would Jesus bomb? Yeah. I've seen you on the TV and on the battleships. I've seen you in a house upon the hill. And I heard you talking about making the world safer and about all the men you have to kill. And you speak so glibly about your civilization and how you have the moral higher ground. While halfway around the world, your explosives smash the buildings. You could only hear the sound. But maybe Jesus would sell landmines and turn on his electric chair. Maybe Jesus would show no compassion for his enemies in the lands way over there. Maybe Jesus would... would have flown the planes that killed the kids in Vietnam. Who would Jesus bomb? Yes, I hear you shout with confidence as you praise the Lord, and you talk about this God you know so well. You talk of Armageddon and your final victory when all the evil forces go to hell. Well, you'd best hope you've chosen wisely on the right side of the Lord, and when you die, your conscience it is clear. You'd best hope your atom bombs are better than a sword at the time when your reckoning is here. I don't think Jesus would send gunships into Bethlehem or jets to reach the towns of Timory. I don't think Jesus would lend money to dictators or rivals SUVs. I don't think Jesus would ever have dropped a single ounce of napalm. Who would Jesus bomb? Would Jesus bomb? Or would Jesus bomb?
Yeah!
Yeah! David Robick.
David Robick, ladies and gentlemen.
Here in April, who are you here this weekend? McPherson Square this afternoon and this evening at the counter inaugural ball where? Oakey Street. A dream. And tomorrow when? The Backbone Rally. So you can hear him tomorrow. At what time, David? 11:30 tomorrow. So just get to the rallies and then you'll get to hear everybody.
This is where they belong.
Well, I'm taking them back home.
Send them back home.
This is where they belong.
This is where they belong.
This is a rich man's war.
This is a rich man's war.
What is a poor man fighting for?
A poor man fighting for.
This is a rich man's war.
This is a rich man's war.
What is a poor man fighting for?
What is he fighting for?
We're on a mass destruction.
Ain't never been found.
Weapon of mass destruction.
Ain't
never been found.
They ain't never been found.
Homeland Security.
Security.
Please lay your weapons down.
Weapons down.
Homeland Security.
Security.
Please lay your weapons down. This is a rich man's war.
Rich man's war.
What is a poor man fighting for?
What is he fighting
this
for?
This is a rich man's war.
Rich man's war.
What is a poor man fighting for?
What is he fighting
Mothers
for?
Mothers and fathers are crying.
They are crying.
Poor man.
Renee from Westerners Radio. How do you feel that belly dancing is going to break down this rotten system?
I don't know. It's just another form of like visual activism, using something that we love against something that we are offended by.
That sounds good.
Woo!
RCDC, Radical Chilies of DC. from me. Well, I took back my dignity,
and I
took back my humanity. Well, I went down to the president's house, and I took back what he stole from me.
For a while.
Yes, I've been a billionaire for Bush since 2000. I was here 4 years ago, and I'm happy to be back here again. We have much to celebrate.
Well, you're a billionaire with Clinton?
And this is Robin.
No, I was not. I think, personally, I think he was not as great a financial investment as George Bush. We kind of got woken up by the Russian oligarchs in 91, and we realized, hey, they gathered billions out of nothing and sea state resources, and just frankly, we wanted more. And George Bush delivered the greatest financial return on investment of any legislated financial investment, George Bush. I mean, who else? We went after the Treasury Department. The economy's going down. We got after the Treasury Department big time. We took a surplus, turned it into a deficit. All that money went to us. Who is all these people, you know, they may have dreamed of looting Fort Knox. We did it. And then what did we do? Where else could we make more money? Off to war.
War profiteering.
War profiteering. Now we're running out of troops. What do we do? Go after Social Security. Take all that Social Security and put it in the warm corporate hands.
From Main Street to Wall Street.
Are there billions of you?
No, there are not, of course. It takes many, many people. It takes hundreds of millions of people to make one billionaire.
And an exclusive club.
It's an exclusive club. We need a lot of people making a lot of little money to gather a little bit of money from a lot of people to make big money.
It's a capitalist pyramid scheme.
And the thing about Social Security is we need suckers to buy high so we can sell and we can buy and we can buy low. So we need suckers on Wall Street. There are just not enough suckers on Wall Street, so we need that Social Security money to prop up the stock, and then when it's high, we sell low.
We buy, darling, and we make wonderful profits.
We buy low.
And what? We buy low, we sell high. They buy high and sell low.
Too much champagne, my dear.
Too much champagne.
But what I was trying to get at is there's not enough suckers on Wall Street, which is why we're now turning to Main Street.
Well, this is Vincent Irene for Blast Furnace Radio, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Thank you, I think.
You're welcome.
Thank you, darling.
Toodles.com.
Toodles.